Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to thank you for listening in to Blog Talk Radio Show, Genealogy Just Fair. Thank you, Robin Foster, for joining us today.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
You're welcome. I'm Alice McClure. Today's episode will be on some ways of finding formerly enslaved ancestors. Robin, what did you discover in the 1870 U.S. Census?
Well, I discovered Anderson Chick. I had to go back to the 1900 census because this can be kind of confusing. I was talking to my great aunt, and she gave me the name of Anderson Chick, and I knew that I could find him if I looked in the 1900 census, and I did find him in 1900. He's with Elena, Sarah, Daisy, she's my great-grandmother, Silas, Eliza, Frank, Pettis, Clarence, and Coleman. I wanted to find him in the 1880 census first. So I looked for Anderson Chick in 1880. I couldn't find him. And remembering the 1900, right next to Anderson Chick was Sarah Chick. Now, she was white. She was living with her nephew, John Henderson. I decided to, out of a whim, look for Sarah Chick. So, in 1880, I look up Sarah Chick. And what do you know? I find her. She's widow at the time, and she's living with Anderson. Well, actually, not Anderson, but John Henderson, her nephew. And Lucy Shelton, which I believe is a sister, I'm not sure. But nowhere was there Anderson Chick. Now, I looked down a little bit on that, and I found an Eliza Eidner with a Henderson Eidner and a Pettis Eidner. There was Marcellus, Frank, Willie, Lucy, and Robert. Now, I had never heard of that name before, Eidner. And it was so, Anderson and Eliza were the names that I was searching for, but I was searching Chick. Well, I decided to go over to the 1870 census and look for them there. And tried Anderson Chick, and of course he didn't come up. I tried Anderson Eidner. He didn't come up. So once again, I decided, well, let's try Sarah Chick. And I found her. She was 54 years old, and she was with her husband, Pettis Chick. Now, there were other people staying there. And if I look down on that census, I see Liza Maydin and Anderson Chick with Pettis, Marcellus, and Robert. That was the same family that was staying next to them in 1880. Now I'm saying, well, their last name is Maydin instead of Chick instead of Eidner. That turned out that I found a will of Pettis Chick, and in that will he gave land to Eliza and Pettis and Henderson. And that will was in 1878, which is way after slavery. So I hope you can see how hard it was. They changed their names there three times.
What did you discover in the death certificate?
Well, I discovered Martha Talley. She was born during enslavement, but this death certificate says she was born in 1877. And I found out that's wrong. I looked looked at the 1870 census where she's listed, and she's listed as being 15 years old. Well, that would leave her a birth of 1855. Now, another thing from the death certificate is that her parents' names are on there. And that is very, very unusual. They have the enslaved person with their parents. And they were from Union County, South Carolina. The father's name was Henry Sims, and the mother was Priscilla Chick. You may not be accustomed to thinking about looking for a death certificate for an emancipated person or their children, but many live well past the time death certificates were first recorded. If you are fortunate, you'll be able to locate a death certificate. Death certificates often mention the place of burial. You may not recognize the place mentioned. If this is the case, you need to research historical cemeteries, local history, local maps, or deeds to discover more about the burial site and its location.
What did you discover in the church record?
I discovered Columbus Goggins. He was born before enslavement. And the record I found was a book, and it's called African Americans in South Carolina Bicentennial Focus, the Seventh Episcopal District, and it's by Bishop F.C. James. Now, I can read the article that was in the book. St. Paul AME Church that was founded in 1783 in the Cokes Ferry Township of Abbeville County. We know now these days it is Greenwood County, South Carolina. The original trustees of the church were D.A. Johnson, J.A. Wilson, Alex Shaw, J. Jones, Columbus Goggins, Squire Washington, Ed Ferry Chancellor, Lewis Washington, and Mitchell Goggins. And we know that Mitchell Goggins is a son of Columbus Goggins. The church was originally located near the old university property in Abbeville, or in Cokesbury. The church today is located in Hodges, South Carolina. That's in Greenwood, sponsors a program for school-age youth. Columbus Goggins was one of the oldest living members of St. Paul AME Church. St. Paul AME Church was situated in Cokesbury. And if you're unfamiliar with that area, there is a burial site right by where Allen University used to be.
What did you discover in the papers?
I discovered Mitchell Goggins. We remember that was the son of Columbus Goggins and Governor Beverly Vance. He's my second great-grandfather. He was born in 1832, and he died around 1899. Now, the thing that I discovered about him in the newspaper was an article, and it was a newspaper.com. The Abbeville Press and Banner was the paper. It was in Abbeville, South Carolina, and it was published on October 2nd, 1832. Article tells about the polls opening, and it gives the fourth precinct manager. And in there it says it was the Cokesbury precinct manager, Matthew Wilson, Beverly Vance, and Mitchell Goggins. And, you know, I found plenty in the paper.
cemetery.
I discovered James Smith Johnson, McCoy. She was born in 1834, and she died in 1919. On her death certificate, it says she died on May 28, 1999, but her tombstone says May 22nd, 1999. So that's a discrepancy that has to be figured out. Her parents are also on here. They're Louis Burroughs and Kate Smith. And they're from Greenville County, both of them. And I have to admit, in looking at this death certificate just the other day, I noticed something that I should have noticed before. First of all, when I was looking for James Smith, McCoy, Johnson McCoy, I found her in 1880, and she was living in Abbeville County, South Carolina. And I thought that's where she came from. But on this death certificate, it says that she was born in Greenville County, South Carolina. And that kind of excites me now because I can look for, now that I've seen this, recognized it, I can look for her in the Greenville resources.
What did you discover the death notice?
Well, in the death notices, I discovered another enslaved person. His name was York Smith, and he was born in 1816. And died in 1908. Now, one thing that this was really good to find this because he is the wife, the husband of Charlotte Nelm Smith, and we know that that is part of my Nelm family. Now they're married in. I don't know exactly, but I know that they were married in 1870 and 1880. They had children. This death notice that I found was written by W.A. Smith. In the death notice here, it gives who owns York Smith. The second paragraph says, for long years he was a slave and carriage driver of the late Colonel W.M. G. Smith. That was the person who was the father of the person who wrote the death notice, who is W.A. Smith. Now, there's not much to go on here. It is a good size death notice. I was looking for more, but I didn't get it on here. It's quite common these days for the descendants of ancestors to help enslaved people to have a desire to know what became of the emancipated people who were connected to their families. Descendants of people of color who were enslaved have great challenges as they seek to discover their history.
Thank you for joining us.